Okay, in Jeremiah 6, listen, last time we were together, we got out as far as verse 15. And let's back up and read verse 14. Just kind of get a running start at it, okay? They have healed also the hurt of the people. Let's start that again. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, slightly, not really, just kind of like, and kind of glossing over this, the idea, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. The problems of America, as I see it, no one blushes. When you're doing something shameful, please bother to be ashamed. That's a good sign. There's no shame. People parade sin. You know, there's no shame. Now, listen. Back in the early times, the times of our country, so a lady had a child out of wedlock, so would make her wear a big scarlet, red letter scarlet A on her chest for adulterer, all right? Because her husband was away, and put her in one of them pillory things where you put your hands through the stalks and throw rotten vegetables at her, and let's all hate her. And I'm not saying that, okay? There's a difference. I don't like to share the story, but it kind of illustrates the point. I have two sisters who had children outside of marriage. It happens, right? The first time was 1976. We lived in Boston. We moved up in 1976. And when my sister had this baby, it was back in 1976. It was kind of a shameful thing. It was scandalous in the neighborhood. And everyone was like, oh, I can't believe it, that, you know, good young girl having a baby and stuff like this. And it was, well, she's happily married now. She had that one, married the guy, and they've had 9 more since. And she's got 42 grandkids or something ridiculous like that, right? Something's crazy. 42 grandkids, I get 2. That's a lot, I don't know. But, all's well that ends well. And so I had another sister, and when we moved up here in Maine, and that was like 19 or 20 years ago, because, I don't know, 1995-ish, plus or minus. And that was celebrated. No shame there. I mean, we thought, it was a baby shower, all our friends were all excited, she's having a baby, no man in the picture. They never did get married and stuff, and she only had just the one. Good guy. He's my nephew. He's a good guy. And look, I don't know that we need to pillory and humiliate one or celebrate the other. Isn't there a place in between where hey, that's kind of shameful activity. You two living like husband and wife when you're not even married. Isn't that kind of shameful? Bother to blush. Bother to be ashamed when you're doing something shameful. This is what God's saying here in verse 15. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they weren't ashamed at all. Now, stay with that. Keep that in the back burner of your mind. We'll revisit that again before we're done tonight. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. They said, no, we will not walk therein. Look at the easy commandments here. Stand, see, ask, walk. And you know what's going to happen? Good stuff. Good stuff. You're going to find rest for your soul. Nope. Won't do it. We will not walk therein. What, something you don't understand about this process? God's saying, I can draw you a picture. I can use crayons. I don't think it's being very difficult. And there's blessing at the end of it all. Also, I set watchmen over you saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, nope. Now, I'm saying that. They didn't say that. They said, we will not hearken. Listen, God, and God said, and they said, no, we won't listen. My point here is following God, it's not complicated. It's usually pretty easy. It's usually the obvious way. And if it's very, very complex and, you don't know, there's a lot of moving parts and variables, you're probably involved in sin, okay? Sin is complicated. Righteousness is easy. Walk, stand, listen, obey, get blessing. What part of that equation are you struggling with? Nope, we're not going to do it. We won't do it. We won't listen. We're not going to walk in the ways. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. And I want peace. I want to bring them peace. I'm a father. I know how to bless. I know how to love. I know how to give good things to my children. Oh, you need a spanking? Okay. Because I know that, too. I have that in my repertoire as well. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. So obviously they're sending out for get their incense to another country. They're bringing in their import and it costs a lot of money. And God's saying, what's that all about? You think I'm like happy about that? So you're paying a lot for these offerings that I'm not accepting? I mean, if we take this like this cult, right, but we make the buildings very, very, very ornate, then God's certain to be impressed. Or I can't think of another good example. No, your lives are horrible. I don't care how much you're spending for offerings, he's saying. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people. Oh, you don't want to listen. You don't want to follow. You don't want to stand. You don't want to obey. I'm going to lay stumbling blocks before this people. And the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Therefore, saith the Lord, behold, the people cometh from the north country. Babylon. Yes, it is Babylon. We talked about this. And a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel. They have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea. And they ride upon horses set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. Why is he saying daughter of Zion? Why didn't he say men of Judah? Because you're going to be like a little girl when they show up. You're going to be running around holding your skirt and screaming. I think that's the picture there, too, if that offends you. When he's calling men women, he's not saying that to bless them, okay? We have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. It's like we're going into labor. These men having labor pains. What's that all about? And by the way, remember I said labor pains always look like, what's the word, eschatological? Here, they're just talking about Babylon. But remember, Nebuchadnezzar is one of the clearest antichrist types in Scripture. What do you mean? Well, he builds a big image. He makes everyone bow down and worship it. And if you don't, that's it, off of the head, right? Fiery furnace time. Is the fiery furnace a picture of the time of Jacob's trouble? Obviously. And by the way, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are pictures to us of the time of Jacob's trouble. They're going through the tribulation. And by the way, unscathed. At the beginning of the tribulation period, 144,000 Jews, right? At the end of the tribulation, you got what? 144,000. How many has God lost? Zero. Unscathed. You say, but that's a picture of us going through the tribulation. No, it's a picture of the children of Israel, a picture of Jacob going through the time of Jacob's trouble. I think Daniel's a picture of the church. Where's Daniel? Not in the fiery furnace. What's the type? What's the picture? Well, if you allow me, he was raptured right out of the scene. Or he bowed down, but not likely, right? Not very likely. So I think Daniel's a picture of the church, who, by the way, is the beloved of God. Remember Daniel, most beloved, like a picture of John, the revelator, the one who Jesus loved. There's all kinds of correlations. I like to draw them all out. But anyway, I think Nebuchadnezzar is one of the surest antichrist types. So when it's talking about labor pains in here, I think it's talking eschatological a little bit, or at least a hint at it. Because Jeremiah, remember, he's a prophet to the generation to the nations, including America, not just to Israel at the time. But although that's the main thrust here. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thee in ashes, make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentations for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. Bad news? Yep. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people that thou mayest know and try their way. I think he's saying that specifically to Jeremiah. They, see, I've set thee, you, Jeremiah, they, Israel, they are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron, they are all corruptors. The bellows are burned, the lead is consumed of the fire, the fountain melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Okay, we're turning up the heat now. And there's a reason for this, by the way. If you're in the crucible, there's a reason. Yeah, I know, God hates me. No, God loves you, and it's a refining process. Remember, by the way, the time of Jacob's trouble ends with them all being saved, all coming to worship Messiah Jesus as their king, as their Messiah, and as their God. So it all's well that ends well. But here, you know, God's saying, I'm turning up the heat. I'm trying to purify, like silver is purified in that crucible, and all the scum and it all rises to the top, and I skim that off, but it's not working. And it's not the problem with the bellows. It's not the problem with the process. It's every time I pull the dross off, there's more dross. It's hardly any silver here. It's all dross. It's kind of the idea. And he rejects it at the end. Look at reprobate silver or rejected silver shall men call thee, because the Lord hath rejected them. And by the way, silver, idiomatically in Scripture, speaks of what? Now, I told you some things. The right hand of God, when you talk about the right hand of God, we're talking about what? What? Salvation. Good. Remember that? And everyone should, when I say that, everyone should answer in unison. Salvation, they should have it like right there, right now. Now, silver, what's the silver all the way through Scripture idiomatic of? You don't know. I probably haven't told you this. Redemption. Always study it out. Okay, so when he's saying rejected silver, he's saying, I can't redeem this. It's irredeemable. It's kind of the idea. Let's keep moving. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Okay, where is he? He's at the temple gate. 17, 18, 19 years old maybe. I want you to stand there. This kid, right? Picture this. They're all going into worship. Going to church on Sunday morning. They're going to temple is the idea. On Shabbat, right? No Sunday morning. And he's going to stand there. He's going to give this message. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. They're all like, yeah, okay, go ahead, what? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Dude, what's your problem? We're all dwelling in this place already. No, you're not, enough along. And what does amend your ways? You know what he's saying in the word, repent. And you know what they're saying? No, we ain't gonna. Imagine the greatest preacher of the day. And who's got the message of God more than Jeremiah? And nobody's showing up to hear him preach. Matter of fact, he's got to go to them and bring this message, and they're not listening. What a hard thing. You know, you got the goods. God's called you. You know, you're the man. You're the man of the hour. And they're not listening to his words. Listen. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Hey, we got the temple. You think God's mad at us? We're going to worship. We're going to the temple. What's your problem? The Jews in Jesus' day would say the same thing. Remember? But look at these big buildings, Lord. Look at the stones. Look at the... There ain't going to be one stone left on another. They're saying the same thing, aren't they? He says, remember Jesus says, your house is left unto you desolate. Remember he's talking about the temple. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer to all nations. He didn't like the fact they were, you know, money changers and all that, and they were selling and making this obscene profit. He didn't like that. Jesus didn't like that. He doesn't like people gouging his sheep. No, he don't like that at all. I try to avoid that at all costs. We hear it. Calvary Chapel, we don't do that. We don't fleece sheep. Feed sheep, okay? Come here, get fed up. Eat till you're filled. Don't get fed up. I mean, you know. And have a good time. And keep your wallet right where it is. Nobody's gigging you for nothing, right? Here, they were changing the money and all this stuff and gouging the people. And what Jesus says, you know, I don't like this. My house is a house of prayer. My Father's house, he says. And then he says, your house is left unto you desolate. Your house, your temple. It's not God's temple anymore. He just gave it to them. And he says, desolation. What? And so now chapter 24, verse 1. The apostles and Jesus. Hey, Jesus, are you sure? Are you just having a bad hair day? Or like, did you see this temple? I mean, this is incredible building, this structure. Certainly God is for us. Certainly God would never destroy this place. I think you might have just overstepped a little bit. Huh? Not one stone left on another. Don't say the temple, that God's really like super impressed with the temple. He said, my glory dwells there. It hasn't for a long time. It did when Jesus showed up. But the Shekinah glory on the temple, that left years ago. The temple. This was the same thing here. Don't trust in lying words. The temple of the Lord. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and forever. There's an if and there's a then. It's not just a promise like, hey, I'm going to bless you because I love you and because I'm God. No, there's a, you obey and I'll bless. This is the deal, okay? Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Really? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Hey, I'm checking it all out. Nothing's going on that I'm not noticing. You're going to commit adultery. You're going to steal. You're going to. I mean, listen, there's like 7 out of the top 10 commandments here. Swear falsely, burn incense of other gods. There's, you know, idolatry, all this stuff here. He says, and you think I'm going to just like, I'm okay with that? We are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. We've got to revisit Shiloh in our thinking. Don't turn there. Remember the story? 1 Samuel, early chapters. There's the tabernacle set up at Shiloh, the precursor to the temple. It has the, you know, the table of showbread. It's got the laver. It's got the altar for burnt offering. It's got the menorah. It's got the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. It's got all that stuff. It's a precursor. So what happens? Well, there's a man named Eli. He's got these wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they are taking advantage of the people as far as they're bringing these offerings and stuff, and they're like stealing from people. They're sleeping with the women, okay, although they're both married. They're committing all kinds of gross acts of fornication, adultery, idolatry. They're wicked. So they're going off into battle, and so they take the Ark of the Covenant because it's basically a giant rabbit's foot to them, right? What happens? They get killed in battle. The Ark gets taken by the Philistines. Eli, big old fat man, that's what the Bible says. He's a very fat man, and he hears the news that the ark was taken and that his sons were killed, but when he heard about the ark, he fell over backwards and broke his neck. Remember the story? And so his daughter-in-law, who's, I don't remember if she's married to Hophni or Phinehas, whoever it is, too bad for her, I mean, because, they're both skunks, right? But whatever. So what happens then is she delivers a baby. She goes into because she's very pregnant, she goes into labor, squeezes out a kid, calls him Ichabod, the glory is departed. Thanks, Mom. I really think that's a swell name to have. And then that's it. The ark's taken. That's never the center of worship anymore there. What's that all about? God says, oh, you think you can just sin and get away with it? I don't notice. Because it's the same thing here in Jeremiah. It's the same story. It's going to have the same bad end. Go to Shiloh. Where I set my name there at the first. And check it out. Learn from history. And I think history teaches us that people learn nothing from history. I have a history. I do things a certain way. Why haven't you understood that? Because you wouldn't be acting like this now, he's saying. I wish America learned from history. But they think this book is a book of fables, but if they read the book of Jeremiah, I think, and took it to heart and believed it was real history, I think this whole nation would turn and repent. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that is the way it is, because I don't even know if the people of God always repent when they hear the right message. And by the way, is that heavy? I don't mean to be, but I mean it's... Listen, I've been around for a long time. I've seen some stuff, okay? And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, when ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done in Shiloh. Look at verse 4. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Hey, those are lying words. Temple, I'll show you the temple of the Lord. Did you check out Shiloh? I'm going to do that again. Verse 15, I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Ephraim, denotative of the northern kingdom there. He's using it. It's a synecdoche. You know, like when you use the, like you say, hey, nice set of wheels. You mean the automobile. You're not talking about the car, right? I mean, you're not talking about just the wheels, like you're a tire fancier. You say nice set of wheels, you're talking about the car. You get that? Ephraim's used that same way for the whole northern kingdom. Is that a good example? You know what I mean. It's called a synecdoche. And he uses that very often when he says Ephraim. Hey, I did it to Ephraim. What makes you think I won't do it to you? Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up or cry, nor prayer for them, neither make intercession for me, for I will not hear thee. Jeremiah, stop praying for these people. Are you kidding me? That's what he's saying. When does God tell us not pray for America anymore? Is there a time when he does? Is it already that time? Listen, I don't know unless he tells me that personally in a way that I could not be mistaken about. I'll just keep praying. I pray. The other night, I wasn't sleeping. Monday night, I wasn't sleeping at all. I just kept waking up, and I was praying. Man, I was praying for you people. I was praying for this area. I was praying for families that I know. And I was just praying. I was praying for this nation, but in a small end, this area, and you know, for family and stuff like that. I was praying, praying, praying. And I was wondering, like, you know, like, is it too late? Is it like... Is the nation gone too far where God's saying, no, it's all over. Oh, there's individuals I'll save. The ship's going down, but, you know, there's some lifeboats that aren't filled up yet that I haven't. I don't know the answer to that. I'd love to see America turn around and be given another 200 years. Is that on the horizon? Is that on, I don't know. As it is now, I don't see it. I mean, can I just be honest with you? I don't see it. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, quipped years ago that God's got to judge America for her sins, or he's got to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Good soundbite. Is it true? I kind of think it is. I don't know. Keep praying. But here he's saying to Jeremiah, no, don't pray anymore. Don't cry. Don't make intercession. I'm not going to hear you. I'm not listening. No. Really? No, they went too far. They've gone to that point of no return. Saying, really? God knows that place. Do we know that place? I don't know that place. See thou not what they do in the cities of Judah? Hey, haven't you checked this out, Jeremiah? And the streets of Jerusalem, listen, the children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire. The women knead their dough because, I don't know, the husband, maybe he's in sales and had an off year, right? Women knead their dough. Okay, just a joke. Hey, listen, it's the whole passage is kind of stressful, right? Got to lighten it up a little bit. No? All right. The children gather wood, the fathers kindle a fire, the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings on other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Don't do that. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Look at what's happening. Father, instead of leading his family to things of God, what's he leading them in? Idol worship. Hey, kids, go get the wood. How many fathers are setting their kids to collecting wood to burn strange fires? They're filling their children's head with all kinds of nonsense, and at the end of the day, it's, hey, you know, you want to work hard, you want to, you know, go to college, you want to get a, and so you can get a, you know, career, and you can make a lot of money so you can buy, you know, this and that. And no, not against education or getting a good job, or even for that matter, for owning things, but if your life is all about how many things you collect, is that a life that's sadly misspent? Is that what you're teaching your children? Why don't you just send them out, collect wood, and then use it to make cakes that your wife is making? Is this a father who's leading his family in the things of God? Is this Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? No, this guy's disgusting. He is a total failure. He is lost on every single level. This man, I wish he went to this church. I would talk to him. But this is happening all over the place. What the one constant? Look, if men were the men that God called them to be nationwide, this God would bless this marvelous country from sea to shining sea. The divorce rate would be hovering right around the zero mark. Prisons would be empty. We would have a robust economy roaring ahead. What's the problem? Stupid men. Good fathers kindling fire, the wives are kneading the dough, women are the kids are out collecting the wood. Who's responsible? Hey, who's the leader? Dad, where are you? Jerk. Gets me insane when I think about stuff like this. It's an old story. It's an old story. It's nothing new. Do they provoke me anger? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, upon the trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Really? Aren't you kind of a little bit overkill? Let's keep reading. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings under your sacrifice and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. Look, when we brought the children of Israel out of, I didn't set that whole sacrificial system in place. That was something later on. We did that after a couple of years, okay, of them wandering around. The whole thing was, listen, follow me, be my people, I'll be your God. Now, there was commands that were given right at the beginning, right? What was that all about? Well, it's like, okay, you're going to hang out with me. You're going to know a few things, right? I hate cigarette smoke. Don't blow smoke rings in my face. Most people wouldn't do that anyway, right? Someone's coming over to your house. You come over to my house for dinner, right? Say, yeah, bring the whole family. What's the first thing you're going to say? Wait a second. You don't have any pets. You don't have any cats, do you? Oh, I do have a cat. Oh, my daughter has fur fever and she can't. And that, next you're going to tell me the menu, right? No shellfish. No peanut butter. Oh, man, the lobster and peanut sauce, that's gone now. We're going to do that, right? What? Because there's a few rules you're saying. It's not like I hate you. It's like you got to operate inside of these. I mean, this is where we can meet. This is where we can hang out. But we got to have a few rules in place because we don't want things to go very, very bad, right? Well, God's saying the same kind of thing here. It's not his allergies acting up. It's like, look, I'm a holy God. Okay, I live in this very peculiar place. You want to hang out with me? This is what it looks like, okay? And that's kind of what it's all about. He's holy. He's of pure eyes and can behold evil. I don't want you like, working over the widow and the orphan. And I want you to do justice. I want you to be merciful. I want you to be like me. And we can hang out together. Oh, we'll have a great time. But I got to have these few rules. Not... And later on, he'll develop the sacrificial system because it shows us something. Not God's drunk with blood. I want to show you what sacrifice looks like. I want to show you. I want you to have a lamb in your house that you take for a pet, and then you take it and kill it and eat it. So when this crazy man who eats locusts and dressed in camel hair comes along and say, behold the Lamb of God, you'll get the picture. I want to do sacrifice so you understand Jesus. You understand the cross. You understand all that. Right? I want you to understand the wages of sin is death. You don't take the animal and slap him around. You have to kill him. I mean, there's a method to all this. You think God just likes goat blood? I love the blood of bulls. Oh, when somebody kills a bull, I love that, God says. No, what are you? No. This is what it's saying. Put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifice and eat flesh. I didn't speak to your father's command of that when they first came out of Egypt when, in that first day concerning burnt offerings as a sacrifice. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice. I'll be your God. You shall be my people and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that I may be well with you. I want you to do it a certain way. Because I've set up these parameters that if you do it inside these parameters, it's going to go really, really well. You do it outside these parameters, it's going to go really bad. Listening, me and Suze were listening to a message tonight before we came, it was on marriage, and it had to do about sex and marriage, and it was really, really good. The guy does a really, really good job, and he was saying, okay, this is what God said no to sex, and he gives a list of, you know, incest and bestiality and homosexuality, and he gives a whole list, and he says, and here's what God has set up for, and they describe that, and he says, now, Satan says, okay, see this? God doesn't want you playing out here because that's where all the fun is, and he's this big, mean ogre, and he's a prude, and if you go out here and you have all the fun, and this God wants to cloud up and rain all of your prey, and God's saying, no, it's not like that at all. I've made everything, including sex, and I said, it's very good. I blessed it and said, now here's where the blessing is. Here's where trouble, heartache, and horror are. Here's where misery and bad things are happening out here. Here, blessing and good. And so he puts these fences up, like, and I'm just using this as an example for the children of Israel. Okay, I get some rules, but inside these rules is all the blessing. Not because I can't bless out there, because that's where the bad things happen. If you do it this way, listen, if you're a selfish jerk, are you going to have really good relationships? No. Hey, I got a good idea. Love one another as I have loved you. Will you have really good relationships? Oh, they'll be remarkable. Oh, they'll be incredible. You will be, if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. What am I? Am I saying something really, really hard? God's saying, no, I'm trying to set it up so that you can be blessed. I want to bless you. I want to rain prosperity on you. I want to give you health. I want to give you, and all through the Old Testament, we read stuff like this. No, you over there? I can't bless that. No, that's mayhem over there. So he's saying that, I just wanted to be your God. I want you to be my people. I want you walking all my ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. I'm not insecure in being God, God says. I'm not going to throw a hissy fit because you're not worshiping. Oh, they don't think I'm so wonderful. No, I want to bless you. That's what the verse is telling me. I mean, you see it that way? But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walk in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart and went backward, not forward. You want to do it your way? How is that working out? You're going backwards. You're not going forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and saying, hey, I got a message for you. I want you to do it this way. And so I gave you the people that could give you the information that you needed to know. Yet, I hate words like that. Yet, they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto thee, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Man, that sounds so American. Let's keep moving. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, cast it away, and take up a lamentation in high places. The Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. Cut off your hair, it's the idea, shave your heads. If you're saying this to like a woman, what's a woman's hair for? Her glory, right? No glory is what he's saying. If you say it to a Nazarite, he's saying your vow's a joke. Or remember, he talks to the Israelites about their hair, don't cut the corners of your beard and stuff like that. He's saying, forget about it. Don't look different for my sake, because you're not different. You're like everybody else. So you can look at this in several different ways. For the children of Judah hath done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations, the house which is called by my name, to pollute it. Their abominations in the temple? Oh, yeah, we've seen that several places. Manasseh did that, remember? This is probably after Manasseh. Jeremiah's probably born at that time. This is probably during the time of Josiah. But God says, I remember. I remember when you had abominations, when you had, false worship right inside the temple. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart. Okay, this is one of the things we talked about before. So they get this, it's worship to a Moloch. They get this bronze image, they heat it up super hot, and the arms are extended out, I guess. They take their children, they put it on the hands of this idol, and the children are immolated. And God's saying, I didn't call for that. It didn't come into my mind. You can't listen. Can you think wrong and live right? Does false worship lead to immorality? Listen, only 100% of the time. Only 100% of the time. This is why we learn Jeremiah and stuff like this. You say, well, I'm not out sacrificing my children. Well, that's a story for another time. Perhaps not. You can in other ways. But here they're thinking, like, we do this religious activity and God will be blessed. Will God ever be blessed when you sacrifice your children? No. Why do cultures all over the world think that? In American Samoa, they used to throw virgins into a volcano. They used to throw children into the Ganges River in India to appease their angry God as well. Why do we think that sacrifice equals appeasement of God? Something in our inner something tells us that. God, you know, Satan likes to dabble in blood. Have you noticed that? He loves human sacrifice and things like that. He likes that a lot. One father ever sacrificed his son, and it was okay. And the son was in on the deal, and he was okay with that. As a matter of fact, he came to earth to fulfill that. Everything else is a diabolical hoax. Everything else is Satan's, any other kind of child sacrifice is Satan's hoax, his diabolical, hey, do this. God will be pleased. God's saying, that never came into my mind ever. Ever. So now when we see this and we say, look at he's going to, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, upon the trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground shall burn, shall not be quenched. Say, God, you're having a bad hair day? No. No. I understand. I know what's going on, and I don't like it, and I'm going to let you know that I don't like it. He's just, you can't keep shedding innocent blood and having God okay with that. I mean, think about the American Civil War. And by the way, if you ever watched The Civil War by Ken Burns, very good, very instructive. How could God not? I mean, every nation, every family in America was affected by that war. Why? Because we thought, well, at least half of us thought, it's okay to own slaves. And God's saying, I got something to say about that. And after the war, you know, can you hear me now? I so would have been an abolitionist. I so would have been part of the Underground Railroad, but that's a story for another time. So God's not just overreacting. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Let's call it for what it is, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. Oh, you want to sacrifice your children? Well, let me tell you what's going to happen. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven, for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. No one's going to scare off the birds as they're pecking out your dead, sorry carcasses. I'm serious about what I'm saying, God's saying. I don't like this child sacrifice. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah, from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Listen, I'm going to run through a few verses here in chapter 8. Don't worry, okay? I'll make just kind of like one or two points. At that time saith the Lord, that I will bring out the bones of the king of Judah, the bones of the princes, the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophet, the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of the graves. What's going to happen? Grave robbers. When Babylon gets here, they're going to want gold from your teeth, your jewels, all the clothes you're wearing when you die. All them bones are going to be spread out. And that's part of the judgment, God's saying. And they shall be spread, shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the hosts of heaven whom they have loved and whom they have served and after whom they have walked and whom they have sought and whom they have worshipped. And they shall be gathered nor be buried. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. All these bones. Oh, you love the sun god, you love the moon, you're worshiping that. Well, have at it. Your bones are going to be out in front of the sun and the moon all day and all night. The death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family which remain in all the places where I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Wherefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? When then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth to the battle. You were like a horse rushing into the battle, the way you were straight ahead, full on in the sin. Anyone repenting? No, I didn't see anyone repenting. Look at this point here. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times. The turtle, that's the turtle dove, by the way, and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. They know their migratory patterns, right? The swallows end up in Capistrano whenever they do, right? But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Hey, these bird brains can figure it out. How come you can't get this? You're saying that's a stretch, isn't it? No, I think that's exactly what he's saying. Dumb animals can figure out some stuff that you haven't been able to seem to have figured out. My people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do you say, we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. What do you do for a living? I'm a scribe. Why? Nobody's ordering up a Tanakh. Nobody's ordering up a Torah scroll. They're not following it, is kind of the idea. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken low. They have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Religious people in on this too, God's saying. For they have healed the hurt of the people of my people. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Wait a second. Is this where we came in? Yeah, it is. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Didn't we already cover this? Yeah, we did already cover this. Nay, they were not all ashamed, neither could they blush. Bother to blush, bother to be ashamed when you're doing something shameful. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Listen, you can walk around with a peace sign on your you know, your Volkswagen 1968 van. You put a peace sign on it. It doesn't mean anything. You can say peace all day long. There's no peace for the wicked. They couldn't blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that shall fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. We're going to end there. I wanted to get to that verse because I want to show you things go full circle. I have told you. If you're going to be do something shameful, bother to be ashamed. Bother to blush. Oh, I can't even blush anymore. Really? Really? It's that far gone? Well, peace, peace. No, there's no peace. Don't go there. Don't say that. Just say it. It doesn't make it so. So here we are. God is plenty bugged at the children of Israel. At this time, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come, and he's going to outline, underline, exclamation points, everything God's saying. And it's going to be horrific. Listen, what's going to happen to America? I don't know. I don't know. Bad stuff? Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a prophet. Yeah, I guess bad stuff. Because I'm studying history. We can't fly in his face forever. He's going to swat us sometime. You say, well, what about this and what about children and what about their children too? And being a grandfather, you know, I mean, I worry for this country. I mean, listen, I love America. If I knew for certain that we were going to face some, like, nuclear holocaust this year, you think I'd abandon the country and move somewhere else? Where am I going to go? Am I going to take my kids with me, my family, my kids' kids? We're going to face it together. This is where we're making our stand. I love America. We can't be keep... pussyfooting around with sin, expecting God's going to bless us, it ain't going to work out that way. It's going to be a very rude awakening. I don't know. And I feel like we're on the Titanic, and just at this point, just let's man as many lifeboats as we can, save as many lives. Is it going to be that way? I don't know. I hope to God I'm wrong. I never wanted to be wrong about anything in my entire life. I hope to God that, you know, we elect the right people who will lead us, because our spiritual people have done a really bad job. Maybe our political people will call us to righteousness, and maybe there'll be repentance given throughout the land, and maybe God will one large ingathering before the final curtain. I don't know. Listen, repentance and just a big ingathering, or get us out of here. Trumpet blast, and let's get the show on the road. I mean, let judgment fall for all those who are left behind. But I see those are the only two credible options. What else, you know, what else is there? Hey, let's just keep playing church until forever. I mean, no, we got a window of opportunity here. Let's make some hay. Let's call people to repentance. Tough message. Yeah, imagine Jeremiah, 17, 18 years old, outside the temple. Repent. It's going to go bad. Don't give me this the temple stuff. I don't want to hear that. And he's giving this message. Who's listening? Who's even breaking a stride? Ah, this crazy guy over here yelling. Don't care about him. Off they go into the religious activity. Headed for destruction. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. It's going to go very bad. We know the end of the story. The end of this story hadn't been written yet. I don't know how it's going to play out. Me, I'm just going to try to live before God and just holiness and try to do the things he's called me to do and hope for the best. I don't know. And if America gets judged, there's a land that I love. I don't know. That's all I got. So let's stand, pray, and Matt. Lord, I'm just, you know, when we go through passages like this, I'm shaken up because I love this country, and you know, and I'm a patriot, and you know, and this is the country that I was born in, and maybe sometimes it doesn't deserve our devotion or our love. I mean, we've gone far from the nation that, you know, my parents passed on to me. It's a different country now, Lord, and we haven't been good stewards at all, and I pray that you'd pour out a spirit of repentance, and we're broken. We're so bad. We everything you hate is what we stand for. Lord, just grant us repentance. From the president on down, let set your pulpits on fire with men of God who uncompromisingly preach the word of God. Spirit of God, just be poured out on families and hearts that are willing to receive, and bless this country, Lord, and bless us, and we thank and praise you for the word given tonight. It's not a comfortable word, we get that, but it's your word, and it's good that we have heard it. I'll bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.